Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Hello, Every Nation. Pastor Nathan here, coming to you with our weekly Mark Unplugged series podcast. As we're walking through the book of Mark and our Sunday morning services, we're also coming with weekly podcasts that will fill in the gaps that our sermon series is leaving. So this week, we're taking a look at Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus starts to teach in parables. And I'm just going to read this first parable to you coming from Mark 4, verses 1 through 9. Jesus, or the book of Mark says this. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them this, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. And other seed fell on rocky ground, and when it didn't have much soil, and immediately, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, choking it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell on good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So if you've been around church very much at all, you've probably heard this story. I remember hearing this story as a kid. In kids' church, hearing about how the sower goes out to sow, and how most of the seed ends up wasted. It ends up sown into like briar patch, sown on a path, sown on the rocks, and we're going to talk about why that is here in a minute. But typically, you hear this about are people that are ready to receive the word of God, ready to become Christians, and this is true. Like a lot of people aren't ready to hear, aren't ready to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But some are, and then their life begins to bear fruit. But Jesus ends this with a very interesting phrase. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so as we start here, I'd like to just start by asking, God, what does this have to do with my life? All right, so there's people out there that are hard-hearted, that have rocks in their hearts, that basically their heart is so hard it's like a sidewalk. Okay, but where in my life are you trying to do something? Are you trying to plant something in my life to bear fruit? And I'm resistant. My heart is resistant to this. He who has ears, let him hear. So where does this affect me? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's always parts of our lives that are not as fruitful as we'd really like them to be. Like God's called us to do certain things here in the city. God's called us to do certain things in our work, in our family, in the world, generosity, projects that he's called us to do. And yet we're not doing it. We're not getting the work done. Or maybe we're just even having a negative effect on those around us. We're pessimistic. We're angry. We're twisted. There's sarcasm that's coming out of our life in such a way that it hurts those that are around us rather than encourages them. There's areas in our life that are just not as fruitful as we'd really like them to be. Perhaps it's anger, where we're lashing out at those around us that we love or the people that we work with. Perhaps there's times that we give way to fear, where we act rashly or we act to control a situation and manipulate those around us so that we're not hurt. Perhaps there's sin patterns in your life, where there's things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but they always get the better of you. And what this passage is driving at is that there's a heart behind those things. There's a heart that motivates us to act in a certain way that it will either bear fruit, receive the word of God and bear those fruit, or will bear the fruit of sin. It will choke out the word. The word will take no root in our heart. We'll be resistant to what God is doing. And there's something in our heart that produces these actions that either bears fruit good or bad. So what are some of those things? Perhaps there's an underlying belief in our heart that God is not really for you. If that's the case, if we somewhere deep in our heart believe this sort of thing, it's like a rock, big rock that's down there. when the word of God gets sown, and you hear a preacher say, "Oh, God has a great and glorious plan for your life," and the word of God lands there on that big rock. Something happened in your childhood, or in your life that has convinced you deep down, not mentally, but deep down in your heart and your life, God's not really for you. Well, it doesn't really matter what somebody says. When that good word gets sown on your life, you go, "Yeah, but I've really got to look out for number one. Yeah, but I really can't risk another relationship. I really can't risk giving generously, or I really can't risk my time that it would take to serve in that capacity or start that nonprofit or do that thing that God is calling me to do or maybe calling me to do. I really can't afford that." Perhaps there's a belief around a sin pattern that the sin pattern is really stronger than God. You've tried before and you've prayed about it before. Maybe you had your connect group praying for you, your pastor praying for you, and yet I couldn't break through. So I believe that my sin pattern is actually stronger than God. That's like another example of a rock or hardness of our heart that is resistant to the word of God. And we've all tried to dig these things out of our hearts and our lives, but it's really super difficult. They don't just come out. They don't just, you don't just wish them away. And this is where I'd like to suggest that there's actually an answer buried in the parable for how these hardnesses in our hearts, these resistant areas to the fruitfulness that God would have for us, can actually get dug up, come out of our heart, come out of our life, so that we can start bearing the fruit that God has for us. To him who has ears, let him hear. To her who has ears, let him hear what God is saying. So in this parable, there's this sower. Typically, we like to be the hero of the story. I like to think of myself as the sower going out to sow, to do the good work that God has called me to do in the city, to go about my life in such a way that others might know God. But I think that there's a sower that comes before you or I ever sow. There's a sower that comes that's long before us that goes out to sow the seed. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus starts to explain this parable. In verse 4:14, he says, "The sower sows the word." The sower sows the word. And there's a sower that sowed the word long before you and I could ever sow the word. This is the word that became flesh, the word that dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. Glory is the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. That's from John chapter 1. The word of God is Jesus Christ. He's sent forth from the Father to perfectly represent the Father to us in a way that we can understand in human form. Jesus Christ, Son of God. Jesus Christ is God himself even. And so Jesus is this word that's been sent forth, that's been issued forth from the sower, the Father God. Jesus, again, is also the promised seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 3, God says to Adam and Eve and the serpent, he says, there's one coming, the seed of the woman, who's going to come that's going to crush the head of the serpent. That person that comes to crush the head of the serpent, the seed of the woman, is also the word of God. And here in this parable, the seed and the word are interchangeable. They're one. And I love that because Jesus is both the seed and he is the word. And he's been sent into this world rather indiscriminately. He's been sent for anyone and everyone who would receive him. Now, I also believe that God has chosen those who are going to receive him, but he's also sent generously and without bounds around him so that anyone who hears can receive to him who has a heart and ears to hear and an open heart. So when we view the generosity of God as he sends Jesus, I believe that this has an effect on our heart so that we can be softened, particularly for those of us who know God, who know of his goodness. As we reflect on his goodness, has this softening effect on our heart, this ability to soften the hard parts of our heart so that we can also join with the work that God is doing, receiving his word into our life, being transformed by it, and bearing the fruit, that 30, 60, 100-fold fruit that we'd all like to see in our life. I have an example of how this happened in my life. I was serving in Edinburgh as a street pastor. Street pastors would go out late at night and serve the pub and club goers between the hours of about 12 midnight and 4 in the morning. As the clubs were shutting up, people were coming out, and And we'd serve these people that maybe needed water or needed to be able to find a taxi, that needed, we did have to call ambulances and administer CPR on a number of occasions, different ways that we had served. This one night, I remember it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, and a guy came out of a club early hours. It was cold out, but he came out without his shirt. Somewhere in this club, he lost his shirt. And I thought, that poor guy, he's going to have a rough night getting home. And I went back to our base, picked up some of my own clothes, including a lot of the warm stuff that I had for street pastors. It was all branded and had their name and their logos on it. And it was not technically my stuff. It was their stuff. And I was walking home with this bundle of clothes when, lo and behold, this club goer that had lost his shirt came up beside me, started begging for a shirt. Now, my first reaction was, absolutely not. I can't give away this stuff. It's not mine. Get lost. But he was persistent. And in that moment, I remembered something of the word of God, right? Like God, Jesus says, if somebody asks you for a shirt, what are you supposed to? You're supposed to give it to them. Oh man, I really did not want to, in that moment, receive the word of God. My heart was hard. I didn't want to do this. And then, worse, I remember that one of the articles of clothing in this big pile of clothes that I was carrying home was in fact mine. It was a t-shirt, and it wasn't just any t-shirt. It was my favorite t-shirt. So begrudgingly, I reach into this pile of clothes and give this drunk man my t-shirt. He receives it with gratitude, nearly tears it as he pulls it over his head, tears through it. And then I think, well, I'll try to do something good here. I'm supposedly a street pastor. I've got that written emblazed on my jacket here and all over my clothes. So I'm going to at least try to share the gospel with them. So I began to share. And as soon as I start getting into any talk of Jesus or anything, this guy looks down at my shirt, the shirt that I gave him, and he says, "What the is this?" And he again just pulls it off of his body and just is disgusted by the shirt that I've now given to him. And I now am angry. I'm angry at this guy, but I'm more angry at God. And I, in my heart, just lift up an angry prayer to God and say, "You see, God, he doesn't even appreciate or know that I gave this shirt." And in that moment, I felt God lovingly speak back to me. "Nathan, I gave my son. Nobody knows that I gave him, and a lot of people just don't even care that I gave him." Man, in that moment, I was cut to the heart. The hardness that was in my heart that didn't want to give to this drunk man, that didn't want to help him with his practical needs in that moment, was totally softened. I said, "God, if you can give your son generously and freely, then I can give my shirt generously and freely." And I believe the same thing applies to our anger or our fears or our battles with sin. God, if you love me so much that you would give your son without cost or without ever checking if I'm going to receive him, then I know that you're good and I know that you're better than the sin that I'm battling with. If I know that you love me so much that you would give your son without ever seeing if I would receive him, then I know that you're going to protect me and that I don't have to control my situation. I don't have to live in fear. I know that your love was strong enough to raise your son from the dead. And I also believe that you're going to protect me in all ways, that you're going to take care of me and I don't have to defend myself or get angry at my wife or my children or my boss or people that I work with. God, and I can let this anger go. As we see the extraordinary generosity of the sower, our hearts can be softened. And I believe that there's an answer in this parable for how we can actually receive the word, particularly once we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, particularly once we've taken that initial step. How do we begin to bear 30, 60, and 100 fold? We look at the sower. We look at the sower. And as we do, our hearts are softened. The rocks that we've tried to dig out ourselves are melted away by the love and the goodness of our great sower God and the goodness of the word that he's given to us. The life, death, resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a moment here and pray. Wherever you are, whether you're in the car or in the train listening to this, perhaps in your home doing some housework, as you're listening to this, just ask you to agree in prayer. We're going to ask God to remove the stones in our hearts. We're going to ask God to dig these things out, to cause the stones in the hard places of our heart, places that are resistant to his word, to melt away. God, thank you for your generosity. God, thank you for your love. I open my heart up to you newly and freshly today. And I ask that you would cause the areas in my heart that are resistant to your word to melt away as I view your extreme love for me, the extraordinary generosity toward me. I receive it all. And I pray that the hardness of my heart would melt away and I could bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.